Hi, everyone. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost you all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. And she will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dale. Folks, what we're going to do now, as we do this intergenerational service, we're going to do a kind of message in a bit of a different way. As Helen and I were praying about this theme of how do we become wise, we were just praying and thinking it would be great to get some wisdom from different generations. One of the key things in our intergenerational services is to think, how do we learn to listen to voices of different ages? And so we met on Wednesday this week with three folks, and we just were chatting about this theme and talking things through, and we asked them, would they be willing to kind of share with you some of what they shared with us? And you know what? They said they would be, which is wonderful. So I'm going to ask if Jackie and Chris and Aaron, if you guys could come forward. We'll just get things ready here. Could you welcome these guys? And Helen's going to interview them a bit as they share some pearls of wisdom for us. So thanks so much for doing this, Aaron. That's great of you. And Jackie and Chris, and I'm just going to pray for you guys as you just share together. Thank you so much for being willing to do this. I'll then come and just bring a little conclusion at the end. Father, thank you for all the different ages in the life of Holland Road. Even seeing some of the very little ones this morning, they bless us and speak to us. And Lord, now I pray for you to fill Aaron and Jackie and Chris afresh with your spirit. Thank you for them. Thank you for Helen and the things that we've been learning already from these guys as we've been preparing for this service. So come now, open our ears to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks.
Before I ask you any questions, I just wanted to clarify, a garland is a necklace by another name. So if you weren't sure what a garland was and what you're supposed to be making, it's like a big necklace. You'll see a picture of it later, actually. So thank you, Jackie, Aaron, and Chris, for being willing to share with us and to help us explore the idea of wisdom. I'm going to start by asking you all the same question. What has helped you grow in wisdom? Jackie, let's start with you.
Well, I would have to say, to begin with, my first experience of a source of wisdom would have to be my parents. And something that my father would say that I can still hear him saying was something like, a job worth doing is worth doing well.
Thank you. Aaron, tell us about what's helped you grow in wisdom.
My parents would always say to me and my siblings, love one another.
That's a well-worn phrase. Hands up if you've ever had a parent tell you to love one another. Yeah, great. Thanks, Aaron. Chris, how about you?
So for me, it's obviously parents, but as well, it's just being part of this, a part of a community like this is really important, that wisdom comes from being part of a larger community as well.
That's great. And that's partly why we wanted to share our voices, different voices in the service, is to help us realize that we learn from one another, that we all have wisdom, maybe not necessarily wisdom in all circumstances, but you might have a specific bit of wisdom from your life experience that can add to the life of others in the church family. Thank you, Chris. But you talked about learning from other people. How do you know which ones are the wise ones you can go to?
Yeah. I think it would have been wisdom if I'd have said no to this, actually. But authenticity, fruit, is that when you see people who are living, where the fruit of what they're doing is what they're saying, then that sounds like wisdom to me. Like, so Lucy and I, we're in the phase of parenting at the minute where we're learning how to parent adults. Our children are all old now. Children. Oh, no, they're all older. We've never done that before. So one of the things we've been doing is just asking people who have done that before. So somebody who's been parenting adults for a lot longer, like, how do you do it? What are some of the holes that you've fallen into that we can avoid? So that's just an example of that.
Great. I think in learning from that, you have to spend time with them. You have to have a conversation with them, and being present with people and kind of seeing not just what they say but how they live their lives really kind of helps you to know whether they're wise or not, whether the things that they say match up with the things that you see in their lives. Thank you. Aaron, how about you? How do you know who's wise, whose voices you can listen to, who you can trust?
It's like the people you feel safe around, like my friends.
Can you tell me any more?
There's like different groups of friends, the cool kids, not so cool, and then, you know, not really cool. You know, I try and stay away from the cool kids because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
This is really sound advice, guys. Stay away from the cool kids because the only way is down, right? You have an image to maintain. And there's something that what Aaron says in that that's really wise is he's looking for authentic lives. And that's what he can see in his friends in the conversation that we had earlier. He was talking about friends who know Jesus, friends who he can trust. And that's something that he sees in them that makes him want to hang out with them and not with the cool kids. Thanks, Aaron. So how do we become wise? Have you guys got any advice? Let's start with Jackie.
Well, I used to think of wisdom as knowing what to do in a situation. And it is that. But when I thought about this question in the week, I thought, actually, in the Bible, it's more than that, because you have to do what you know. And it's so easy to think you're doing it just because you know what the Bible says and you know how you ought to live. And sometimes you need correcting and showing that actually you're not living by what you believe. So Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "Fools despise wisdom and discipline." Or in another version it says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So that means if I know how to live but then do the other thing, the Bible calls me a fool and not wise. So going back again to my parents, I would say, although I gave you something that my father would say before, it wasn't primarily what they said, it was how they lived and the things they thought were important. So things like being reliable, things like taking on a job and sticking with it, that's the kind of thing, and you see it throughout their lives, and it's not just words.
Great. So not just saying, but doing as well. Do you want to pass the mic along to Chris? How do we become wise?
Ridiculous question. I think absolutely no idea. But I know that foolishness quite well. And the times where if I've been in any way wise, is when I've reflected on my foolishness. When I've seen that I've done something wrong, acknowledged it, reflected on it, and not repeated that.
Mistakes and changing the way that you do things, the way that you behave, based on what you know, which is kind of backing up what Jackie says.
Yeah.
Great. I love it when a plan comes together. Thank you. Aaron, can you give us an example of how you've been wise?
Well, me and a couple of friends went to the park. And both of my friends, they went to get the ball. And they both collided with each other. And one of them hit their chest. And so we all gathered around to see what happened. And then, so I decided to go and get the phone, and then we called the parents and told them what happened. So, yeah.
So it wasn't just about knowing the right thing to do, it was actually doing the right thing and helping out. Cool. And you were loving one another, so you're putting into practice what you'd learned from your parents.
Yes, I have.
See? Take note. This is good. Thank you very much. Okay. And lastly, is there any particular proverb or wisdom that stands out to you that's been helpful for you? Aaron, why don't you start?
Matthew 7-12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
So like with the cool kids and your friends who were doing the right thing, yeah? So you treat other people in the way that you want to be treated. Thank you. Chris?
Yep, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
Good. I'm glad you chose that one and not the one you were going to say earlier.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Chris. Jackie, how about you? A proverb that helps.
Well, I would go back to the verse I quoted earlier, but now because of its first half, Proverbs 1:7. The first half says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in some versions. And I'd go back to that because I'd want to say, I've talked about doing the right thing, but wisdom is more than just doing the right thing. It's not just following rules. I said it's a moral thing, but it's also a spiritual thing. It has to start with God. And the more we know God, and we all need to grow, don't we, in knowing God. You know, it's a big thing to know, but the more you know God, the more you have a motivation or help in doing the right thing. So I just thought of a couple of examples. The more we appreciate that God cares for us and keeps all his promises, then the more we're able to overcome fears and worries. And then the more we appreciate how God wonderfully accepts us accepts us despite all our faults, that helps us to extend grace to other people and accept them as they are. So those are just two examples, but it applies to absolutely everything. And I just finished with something Dan said last Sunday. He said, a couple in the Garden of Eden ate the forbidden fruit because they thought it would make them wise without God. And you can't have true wisdom without God. So if you want more wisdom, seek God.
Thank you. That's such an important message. You can't seek wisdom without seeking God. I think that is such a helpful wisdom for us to think about in our lives. It can feel very moralistic, can't it, to read through Proverbs and do this and don't do that. But actually what Jackie was pointing out, the motivation comes from a relationship with God. That's what helps us to become wise. Thank you very much, panel. Really appreciate it. So we hope that the things that you've heard so far have helped you to think about how to become wise. And now we're going to hand over to David, who's going to explain a little bit more.
Yeah. So has anyone done a garland yet? Has anyone got a garland? Can you want to hold it up? Thank you, Izzy. Look at that. Yeah, and I'm seeing some even Dan's done a garland. Fantastic. We got some up there. Thank you, Victoria. Right at the back. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Great, Ashley. Great. You know, I've got some pictures of some beautiful garlands on both. Here's a lovely, I think, kind of wedding couple probably with these fantastic garlands. And, you know, it's a necklace on the other picture. And actually, the bit in Proverbs talks about wisdom being like a crown even. So if you think I'm not really into garlands or necklaces, that is okay. We're talking here about something so precious and beautiful, like gems that are worth so much that they're worth seeking after. And I was really ministered to by the kids going on all fours trying to find the next bit of their toy and searching for something that to them is a treasure. Even the little ones are teaching us so much this morning. How do we become wise? What does wisdom look like? Well, the wise way is God's way. God is the one who wants to give you and I wisdom. So I want to encourage you to get to know God more and more. Kids, grown-ups, however old you are here, get to know God more and more. I've been so helped by those who've encouraged me to get to know the Bible better. And some of these guys were sharing little bits and verses from the Bible that they found helpful. I encourage you this summer, why not read a little bit of Proverbs each day? Do you think you can do that? A little bit of Proverbs each day. And let's grow in wisdom that way too. You know, we are going to have here through this series a kind of washing line. And if you find a great proverb in these coming weeks, even today, you might think, I know a great proverb. You can come and pin it on the washing line. And then you can, while you're having your T's and coffees, you come look at them and you can take a photo of the bit of wisdom and advice that you find helpful. But I want to come back, just as we kind of land, to what Jackie said about wisdom is not just hearing something or knowing something. It's not even just doing something. Wisdom is knowing God. And because we know him and it's God's way that's wise, we then do that way. The wise way is God's way. And the more we get to know God and his word, the more we'll know what is the wise way to go. And it's not just about us hearing them, it's about us doing them. Do you remember Jesus told a story about some wise and foolish people? Does anyone remember this story? There was a wise man in Jesus' story, and he built his house on what? Does anyone remember? On the rock. We got it here on the left. A house, probably not exactly that one, but a house on the rock. And there was a foolish man in Jesus' story, and he built his house on the sand, that's right. And Jesus said, you know, that these two guys, they both built houses, and the thing is in our lives is that we all face storms, situations which kind of test how we're building. And Jesus said, what happened with the wise man when the floods came and the rain and the storm came, and we see it up here on the left, the house on the rock stood firm, yeah. But the foolish man who built his house on the sand, when the storm came, what happened to his house? It fell down, crash. Yeah, do you remember the song? Maybe you don't know it. Maybe it's a little moment where we could kind of remind one another of the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came down and the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came a tumbling down. And the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. Thank you, Jonah. Rescuing your dad out there. You guys, we know it, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Jesus said the wise man is the one who doesn't just hear Jesus' words, but who also puts them into practice. And I don't know about you, but I find in my life, like Chris was saying, all too often I have been foolish. And actually, the Bible says all of us at one time or another have been foolish. We've kind of known what God wanted us to do, and we've not done it. And the amazing thing in the Bible is that we see that there's really only one person who ultimately always builds wisely, and that is Jesus himself. He is the wise son who always listens to his father. He is the one who passes on to us by both what he says and does, the perfect example. And it's like Jesus, who's built this House on the Rock says to me and says to you, look, hey, look, my house is solid. Your house is collapsing. Come, let's have a house swap. Isn't that amazing? The good news of the Bible is Jesus says, look, come and live in my house. And I will go and stand in your house that's collapsing. I will take on the consequences of your foolish decisions. I will take the punishment and judgment that is upon you and I for the disobedience that we've done. Jesus takes that and stands in our house, and he gives us his house to live in. And when we live in Jesus' house, we're saved by what he has done. That's the good news of the Bible, through his wisdom. But in Christ, in his house, in him, is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so you and I are called to not just enjoy and receive by grace Jesus and his house, his security, but to receive as well in him wisdom to then change our lives to both hear and do what Jesus says as we live with him. And so I want to invite the band to come back up and join me. And I would love us to, just as we respond in worship now, to come again and just say sorry, Jesus, for where we've been foolish. Sorry for where we've not done what you said we should do. And to look again at the cross, to look at what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and to receive from him grace as we repent and believe again that his way is the best way. And I don't know about you, but as I just come again this Sunday, I just want to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And I want to invite you to join me in following him. I want to invite you to put your trust again in Jesus, that his house is the solid house, to come and receive from him, to come and follow his leading, his way, not just to hear it, but to do it. So should we stand together, and Becky and the band are going to just lead us to meditate on the cross where Jesus paid it all. So let's come, and in this moment, just come and confess those times where we've been foolish. Holy Spirit, we welcome you now. Thank you for all that we've learned from Jackie and Chris and Aaron and others. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to do a house swap with us. And Lord, we're so sorry for the times when we've known what you wanted us to do, but we haven't done it. Lord, forgive our foolishness. Maybe just in the quietness of this moment, if there's something you know you've done wrong, where you've been foolish, where you've not obeyed Jesus, just come and say sorry to God. Jesus, we look to you afresh. Thank you for dying for us on the cross. Thank you that through what you've done, we can be forgiven. Thank you that you were the wise son who always did what was right. And Lord, you invite us to receive from you. And we do that now. We receive your gift of righteousness. We receive your wisdom. And we say, yes, Jesus, we want to follow you. In your heart, just say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. And so, Lord, as we look to the cross now, revive us, lead us. Come, Holy Spirit, our counselor, and guide us, we pray. In your wonderful name, amen.